Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Open House with Team Reba, and this is Eric Osnes.
I'm Reba Haas.
Join us. We're talking about taboos in real estate, and we love your calls. This is a open line. Call us in.
Yeah, you don't have to call about a taboo. No. If you have just a general question about real estate or mortgage, you can
That.
But if you do have a question about some of the topics of taboos, by all means,
this
please.
This is real estate and finance. It's not the love line, though. Let's just be clear about that. But you can reach us toll-free, 866-712.
Okay. I guess that part's taboo,
1300.
Right?
Oops, I made her laugh. All right.
Yeah, you did.
So, Reba, speaking of taboos, so there's things that you are not supposed to talk about when you're dealing with clients, when you're speaking with clients, working with them. And those are the things that people really want to know, too.
Well, yeah, I guess they want to know. What's funny, though, is the taboos that you and I were having in conversation when we discussed putting this show together was it's the things that a lot of people think they're supposed to be able to talk about with their real estate agent.
Right.
So it creates an odd moment when you're first talking with a prospective client about, you know, their housing needs. Is they'll say, you know, some kind of question along the lines of, okay, well, you know, we're moving here from, you know, X area, and we want to move into a nice, safe neighborhood with good schools.
Right.
Where would you recommend?
They just broke a whole bunch of rules, didn't they?
Well, they're not the ones really breaking the rules. I would be breaking a rule if I answered.
Hmm.
And if in a specific way.
No.
Right?
All right. So yeah, give an example, like schools, for instance. How what's the controversy with that?
So the controversy around schools is, you know, it's most of all of this falls under fair housing guidelines.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So fair housing, which came into being, I believe, the, you know, 1968, that really was all about giving equal access to all consumers, right?
Sure.
And anyone, any background, right?
That's right.
And prior to that, it was very common for things called redlining to be happening.
That's right.
Steering, those things. What they meant is that maybe someone was directing certain folks of the public to certain areas.
Oh, there were even
away from others.
That's right. There were even covenants in neighborhoods that had restrictions on who could buy in those neighborhoods.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, in fact, actually, it's always kind of interesting even looking at titles for the city of Seattle, because many people would be shocked to see that some of those were here. We always think of this as a fairly open-minded town and
That's
everything.
Right.
And yeah, not so much in the past necessarily. Right. So I've read some very interesting things on title reports. Most people don't look at those, but they have a ton of interesting historical information in them. But when it comes to schools, you run into a lot of other issues though too. If you're only relying on your real estate professional to tell you what the good schools are, I think you're doing yourself a major disservice.
Mm-hmm.
We can be what's called the source of the source.
Sure.
The attorney, Annie Fitzsimmons, who's the attorney for the Washington Association of Realtors, is famous for saying that till she's blue in the face, you know, don't be the source, be the source of the source. You can provide information, but you cannot provide what is your own interpretation of that information.
Got it.
Okay.
So you have, and this is really just to protect yourself as well.
It's to protect us, but it's really meant to protect the consumer.
Make sure that they're making a well-informed decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's nowadays, because, you know, when I got in the business in 2003, the internet was still relatively new. There wasn't that much information out there. Schools have definitely jumped on board, and they have, you know, web pages for their school districts, for the local schools. There's scoring sites out there. Last week's show, we talked a little bit about even some of those other sites that are out there, like Walk Score.
Mm-hmm, right.
Walk Score is a tool that you can use to evaluate a neighborhood, and it will have some segments about schools. Zillow, which is a local homegrown company, they're not an actual real estate site. A lot of people mistake them for actually being about real estate. They're an information aggregation source.
Sure,
right? They're
sure.
an aggregator of data.
That's right.
Everything they have is third-party information. So they have on their site links to things such as, you know, school reports and different companies that do scoring systems. But each one of those programs has their own format for how they interpret a school.
Sure.
Right? So, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, if you're looking at a particular area, do your research online, but also start seeing if you can get access to folks who either work at those schools or people who send their kids to those schools.
Sure.
Because then
sense.
You're going to get a little bit more information. I mentioned before I had one client with a child who's autistic, and they were moving here from out of state. And they did a lot of research, and they chose the area where they lived specific to programs that were available for him.
Sure.
That
sure.
would help with special needs. So there's a lot of information out there. Don't necessarily, I mean, you can ask for help on finding resources, because we do actually have them. You know, title companies also have different things like that mm-hmm. available. I know one of the booklets I give relocation folks has the entire Puget Sound region in it and a list of all the schools and hospitals and things of that
sure,
nature that
sure.
they can track down.
That's right. That's right. What about crime?
Also a very taboo subject.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to be, I want to be in a safe neighborhood. Well, first question for me is, well, what constitutes safe?
Right.
Because honestly, crime happens everywhere and you can't really get away from it. I don't care what demographic neighborhood you're in, it happens. I've lived in Seattle a long time, about 30 years, and I've had all kinds of crime happen to me.
Oh, you can be in the middle of Puget Sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking about your crab pots?
I have my crab pots. Oh, I'm still mad about that. I've had three crab pots stolen this year right out of the middle of Puget Sound.
Oh, yeah. Well, James, yeah. you know, my husband, he lost two crab pots, too, and all he had was two crab pots. Yeah. So he
James
was
must have
torqued.
A nice boat. That's good.
And we have to go out there on a kayak. We don't even get to be like engine propelled. We have to work our butts off to get out there.
Oh man, not good, not good. Oh well.
So the thing is, crime statistics can be a combination of property crime and personal crime.
Right, right.
And that's another part of the interpretation of that data. I would much rather have to deal with property crime than personal crime.
Of course, it's rampant right now. Matter of fact, mm-hmm. A coworker of mine last night had his car broken into, and
to hear that.
You know, he lost a good set of golf clubs. He lost a bunch of other stuff. He, insurance requires that you file a police report.
Yep.
And on the website for the police, they have a disclaimer that clearly says they will not be investigating property related crimes. So
really,
that's right. In the city of Seattle. So,
wow. Does suck up a lot of their time, I guess.
Right. It's fairly rampant.
Well, cyber crimes are also, an issue
sure.
too. So, you know, you have to kind of look at, I've had lots of property crime, cars broken into, my house broken into. I've had a couple houses broken into. I mean, it's just, and in lots of different neighborhoods, lots of different cities. So, you know, what it boils down to, although I do want to also mention, something that's probably important for some folks, and I've brought this up with my clients, we have to do a property disclosure form.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Form 17.
Form 17.
Yeah, Form 17, if you're using an MLS form. It's also available in other places, like from title companies without that title. But that document is all about the house, right, and the environment and the condition. And there is a very large disclaimer on that. That says a seller is not required to give information about, any sex offenders.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And for that, you know, we always say, you know, there's obviously a lot of now there's a lot of information online. So you can go and usually find level 3. I believe in Washington, they now in a lot of jurisdictions have level 2 offenders,
right,
even
right.
online.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And if you want even down to a level 1, you need to go to the local police office, because if there's anyone registered, they have to be locally registered.
Got it.
So we always make and I've brought that up with clients before, and they were always a little surprised. It's usually a first time buyer that doesn't know that. And we've brought that up when someone's about to write an offer on a place. You know, wife will go home and pull that information up because they've got a small child, you know, they'll be living with them. And one house in particular, I remember she found 15 within a 1-mile radius
mm-hmm.
of this particular property. And so she went, no way. We're not, you know, like the house is great, but no, there's no way. And because you can find out whether or not those crimes committed are against adults or children. And, and it just, it kind of freaked her out, which I understand. Because if you start looking at those a little too closely, you're going to see, you know, that's pretty well spread out as well, too. Although it can be concentrated in some areas because certain landlords have more open policies.
You might have a group of people living in a particular house.
Right. And from a liability standpoint, I mean, you did bring this up. Yes, those are things that, you know, because that real estate agent is not going to live in that house. And so you just can't 100% rely on one other person.
No, that's right.
For this information. It's too important.
You got to be careful. Yeah. Well, you know what, I was just kind of thinking about that. We have, you know, we have crime like that. Then there's also areas where maybe just to drive around is going to give you some information. I have a customer that was, made an offer on a home, and he actually started talking to the neighbors and he talked to a next door neighbor, and the next door neighbor said, see that park across the street? And he's like, yeah. He goes, it's drug dealer central. You know, there's all this stuff on in there. There's needles over there. We try and pick things up. And my customer, you know, got extremely nervous about that and ended up, you know, passing on that home. He failed it based on his inspection contingency, neighborhood review, I guess, basically. So, it was something that, you know, it frightened him to the point that he's like, I don't want to live in this area if this is going to be a problem. So I think,
you know, you bring up a good point because a neighborhood review is actually a separate part of the inspection.
Right.
And a lot of people don't check that box.
Yeah. So this is something you can do to protect yourself. And, you know, if of course, these days it's such a competitive market, there's so much competition for every good listing that comes on the market, that we have people that are, you know, not doing any contingencies because,
when you waive all your due diligence, I mean, my gosh, you're stuck with whatever. Just went, okay.
Whatever.
Whatever happens next.
That's right.
Not so good.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. I know I had a place recently that was actually, it's populated by a lot of police officers, but I'm also on their Facebook page.
For
their community. Well, no, what's really funny is how many times I see things getting stolen out of the neighborhood.
Oh no. I hope
I'm sure it
wasn't any of the officers involved in that. So
no.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about real estate taboos. This is Open House with Team Reba on 1300 Business Radio KKOL. Stay tuned.
Got a question? Call it in. 866-712-1300.